And I love Marion Christian Center. I love the fact that you've been here, whether a short time or a long time. You're here to make things advance in the kingdom of God. We're not, no one church or no one organization is the kingdom. We're all just a part of the kingdom. We're all a joint cell of the body of Christ. And I'm thankful for you and for what God has for you. Thankful for the prophetic word today. I told my wife, I said, before I left Erie, I was pretty sure what I was preaching on. But when I got done Friday night, we had a wonderful night. She said, what are you going to share Sunday? I said, well, I thought I knew. But I really didn't know. I woke up, she went to bed. Before going to bed last night, she said, do you know what you're sharing on? Yes. I said, well, maybe. But this is what I'm going with. It's going to be rather prophetic flow, because even the prophetic word that came about the importance of understanding the times, forgot the word right, the paradigm, understanding the paradigm that might be there, even as I spoke Friday night and surprised myself when I was speaking it, but I started out of the Gospel of Matthew, where it said, 11th chapter, where it said it came to pass right away, right after Jesus was with his disciples, and that it came to pass jumped out at me about for this church, but for all of us. It's very reflective of the fact that our life is a life of progression, of following the voice in the steps of God. And we really need to be cognizant of that fact and not get stuck in a paradigm. A paradigm is only good if God's in it. And there are many good paradigms that are no longer God paradigms. They were good, they were God, but it's now a different time. Amen? And the problem with the church and individuals overall for years is that we have found our comfortable paradigms and we've made that our idols. And we think everybody should do it the way that the Holy Spirit led us to do it. Or, quite frankly, we didn't care if He led us to do it or not, if we're comfortable with it. But we need to know that Proverbs chapter 3 says, lean not unto our own understanding, but in all of our ways acknowledge Him. Amen? Lean not unto your own understanding, but in all of our ways acknowledge Him, and then He shall direct our paths and our steps. Psalms 37, 23, and 24 says, the steps of the righteous man are ordered of the Lord. I thank God for that. That's one of my theme verses in life, that the steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. Two major things that apply to you and I there is that you have to ask yourself, and very few Christians properly answer this, who is the righteous? We are who, if we're born again. We're not striving for righteousness. We were made righteous. We were declared righteous. We were given righteousness. All three of those things have been happened, that all happened because of the Word and the Word in flesh and the Father's plan. Because Father God loved us so much that He sent Jesus, even before the foundation of the world. He has a plan for each one of us. Each one of us were born in time. Many times we are wondering why we're here at this time, how old we are, and almost angry about being too young or too old or out of place. That's an insult to the plan of God. That God makes no mistakes. The steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. Our problem is not His problem. Our problem is that we're oftentimes trying to take our own steps because we're trying to do it by understanding. And I just want you to say, know this, that if you live by understanding, your walk with God is going to be mediocre at best. We need to walk with Him with the assurance that whatever He's telling us to do is a good thing. So, for each one of us, and this is so true for the body of Christ right now more than any other time, listen, if the way church was being done, if church has been being done like it should be done, then why hasn't it accomplished? And yet, if you're not careful, we always want to stay exactly how we do it. That doesn't mean that one body to another body or even another movement is not raised up at God at this time and there's a great flourishing thing, but that's not the whole of it, nor will it be for them the entire time either. We really need to know that we're listening to the voice of God at all times and following Him, because He will never mislead us. Amen. I participated in community Lenten services throughout this past Lenten service a week, and because I, like your pastors, like this church, we really believe in the kingdom of God. I strive to build bridges. Some people don't want bridges built to them, but I'll build them up, and they can either go on them or not. You know, but we want to build those bridges, and so that's both denominationally and racially. And it's brought great reward. But in this particular Lenten service, they were focusing on out of the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 58, where it talks about the fast. And when you read the first several verses of the fast, actually throughout almost the first 8 or 9 verses, it's talking about how the Israelites fasted and why they fasted, and they thought it was a good idea, and God said, not. And it's amazing when I'm not going to go and read all that because that's not where I want to camp out at. But I would encourage you to read it and find out that those very reasons that they fasted, most Christians that I talk to use those reasons why they fast. And God said, not. We're not supposed to be fasting to impress God. We're not supposed to be fasting to make Him hear us. Or to make us, or to make Him move, or somehow to prove that we're something. He said, this is the fast that really does something, that we preach the good news to the poor, that we heal the brokenhearted. It's all those things that are in Luke chapter 4, where Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And He has anointed me to do that, to preach the good news, to set the captive free, to open the blind eyes, to open the deaf ears, to just bring out the wonderful news that if you're hurting, God cares. We need to follow that voice. If we're going to be doing that, but you know that people have formed paradigms trying to do that. For there's always a circle of teachings. Nothing's new under the sun. And 40 years ago, there was a big emphasis on casting out devils. Well, you know why? Because these signs should follow them that believe. They should cast out devils. But you can get so hooked on that becomes your major, and you are overlooking. You can get so into casting out devils that you're not loving your brother and sister. That you're not even loving the one you're trying to cast a devil out of. But then in all those movements, there was always a different one. 40 years ago, it was real popular to, you had the puke in the bag. Or they had the buckets. Yeah. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but it was really stupid. You know, there's only one formula for deliverance. Do what God said. These signs will follow them that believe, and to believe that we hear His voice and follow His voice, and if we can just simply take authority over an enemy. There are times that I don't want to get into deliverance, but there are times that some devils will make a scene, but usually you shouldn't let them. They're not the star, Jesus is. And you and I are His agents that are bringing forth that Christ to those people today. So we don't want to get stuck in a paradigm. And there's other times in healing that people will have healing conferences and they'll tell you exactly how you have to do it. Well, God can do it any way He wants. And we need to know that you might not need to speak the word even. But to somebody will say, but Jesus said, speak the word only. Yeah, but there were times that he didn't speak the word. He just reached out and touched. There were times that he did nothing and somebody reached out and touched him. There was times when Peter was walking down the road and he didn't know anybody was around, but the shadow, the power of his presence was healing people as he walked by, and he didn't even know it until somebody told him later. The important thing is walking in the knowledge of who we are and knowing that we're joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Amen? So if we're going to do these things that God wants us to do, we can only do them as Jesus did them. He said this, I've done nothing, nor do I do anything, save I heard my Father say it, nor saw it acted out in heaven. He only did that as his Father did. And that's real important, because if you look what Jesus did, we know Psalms 107 verse 20 says, it's, I sent my word to heal and to deliver you from all your destructions. We know that healing is the children's bread. We know that sickness came into this world through sin. Sickness is never the will of God. Infirmity is never the will of God. But that doesn't mean that somebody that is sick or infirmed is out of the will of God. Sickness and infirmity is in this world because of the fallen state that the world is in through man's rebellion against God's love and plan. But God sent his word into the midst of that to deliver us from that and make us able to bring hope, even as our brother spoke about, that ray of hope in a person's disability of darkness and confusion or misunderstanding. And if we'll just love them and be listening to what the Spirit says, you don't have to move mightily among anybody. There's just times when you walk up to somebody and you don't even know them and you just might say, how you doing? A simple touch. You ever, I want to give you an experiment. Walk through the mall and just look people in the eye until they see you're looking at them. You'll shock them. Because people are not used to being noticed. And they want to be noticed. They need to be noticed. They're important. I'm talking about in their eyes. Because the life is recognizable in the eyes. They'll duck from you oftentimes. What are you looking at me? You're walking down a black neighborhood. You better a bad neighborhood. You better be careful about making eye contact sometimes. What you looking at, man? But the look is so important. And it's don't back up from that. Because God would send you into a bad neighborhood to let those people know, in a hard situation, that God does see, God does care. We want to make a difference in this world. I got to move because length is not strength. How did Jesus do it? He followed the voice of the Father, followed the voice of the Spirit. In Mark chapter 1, is one of my favorite passages. In Mark chapter 1, I'm going to give you a real brief synopsis. This is a phenomenal chapter, verses 1 through 35, where Jesus, as was his custom, went to the synagogue. And at the synagogue, because they were very familiar with him, because they didn't hand it to strange people, just like this congregation is smart enough not to do that also, They knowing that Jesus was there as a regular one, on this day they handed him the scriptures and said, would you read for us? And then would you teach from us? And then he taught from the scriptures, and those that were in that congregation that day said, whoa, dude, what a teacher. He teaches with an authority, not like the other scribes and the Pharisees did, but he teaches as if he's got a real connection. And he did, because he only taught and said what the Father said. He wasn't just cold reading. The steps of the righteous were ordered of the Lord. The Pharisees might have had an assignment as they handed him the scripture that day, but the Holy Spirit had already foreordained that scripture to be handed to him. And he wrote up and he read it. And this is, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. But so then in that so verse also, when you read in Mark chapter 1, in the midst of his teaching, a demoniac acted up. Jesus didn't get upset. He just simply took the time to say, be quiet and come out of him. And kept on teaching. And then the people said, what? Not only is he a good teacher, but who is this man that can speak to a demon and tell him to shut up, and he just obeys him immediately. So they were super impressed. And when the meeting was over, the synagogue meeting was over that day, they all went to their respective places. And we know that Jesus went with his disciples to Peter's mother-in-law's house. And they did the Christian thing after church. They had dinner. And they were fellowshipping together. But when they got there, Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. Because she was very ill, and she couldn't do what she wanted to do. She wanted to be the hostess, but she was in bed and couldn't even wait on her. Jesus didn't care if there was a crowd. He didn't care if it was a meeting. He would now, before him, and he heard the Father say, go take care of her for her. And he went to her and he healed her with no crowd, with no fanfare, and was just able to get up and then minister to the whole house as if she'd never been sick. But by this time also, the crowd that had went home from the synagogue had went back to their families and the neighbors that didn't go to church that day and said, man, did you miss it today? We had this guy, I think his name was Jesus, that the Pharisees handed the scriptures to. He got up and taught like no man ever taught. He shut down the demons and we're just amazed. And it's sad that the Spirit of the Lord is upon him, that he can open blind eyes and open deaf ears and raise up the sick, the leper, and heal the leper. All those things it says about him. What a day we had. And he said, well, where can we find him? Well, we believe we heard that he's went to Peter's house. So the whole crowd, hearing it from different places, gathered up their friends, and they found the place where Jesus was at, and they interrupted the dinner party. And they said, man, we heard about this service you had this morning. We brought some of our family who needs to be ministered to, who's afflicted, who's sick, who's blind, who's this. Some are demon possessed. And it said Jesus healed them all and delivered them all that came that day. Until the point that the end of the day came and he had to send them home and they took their rest. There's a time to end everything. The Holy Ghost is never tired, but he still has times and seasons where things are moving and things are ending. We have limitation, but the Holy Ghost doesn't. So that's why it's so important to follow him. They went to bed. They went home. The crowds came back early in the morning. They came back even before the disciples were up. But Jesus had been up, because as was his custom on the Sabbath, it was also his custom to get up and start every day asking the Father, what do we do today? Where are we to go, Father? So they aroused the disciples by coming early looking for Jesus, and they said, well, he's not here, but we can find him for you, because they knew his pattern. They went to get him, and they came to him, and they said, Jesus, the crowds are back because of yesterday's fantastic meeting. They've went home and got more family and more friends, and they're here today, and they want their friends and their family healed and delivered as well. And this was Jesus' response. No. He did not respond to the need. He responded to the voice. He said, no, the Father's already spoken to me. And he said, we needs go to another city and preach there. Now, understanding would mess that order all up. Because we would say, why would we go to another city when we've just seen the Father's will being manifest right here at this house in the synagogue in this town? People were healed. People were delivered. Fantastic miracles. And you're south saying, no, we're not going to do that anymore. But that's the will of the Father, or Jesus wouldn't have ever done it. How could then he say no? Just because it was the will of the Father yesterday doesn't mean it's the will of the Father to be enacted by you today. It's still his desire for people to be healed. It's still his desire for the blind blind eyes to be opened, but you need to obey him to your assignment that day, because if you're not doing what he told you and to be where he told you, whatever you're doing, no matter how good it is sin. Because you cannot say to God, no, and be in faith. And if he told you to move on, even though there's drastic needs in front of you, and you would say, well, God, I can't move on. I'm going to just go ahead and pray for them. Well, you just may as well spit into the wind. Because now he's told you to do something and you said, no, I'm going to do this. So there's no power in what you're going to do because the voice is not in that. The voice told you to go here. A number of years ago, my wife and I were ministering at a church in Defiance, Ohio, and I always wondered, why in the world did anybody name their town Defiance? But we were there in this church, and we were preaching a particular emphasis on healing that night, and there was a massive response to the call, and there was a whole line of people, and the one individual got up, and he was all crippled up and on a walker, and he came clear to this end, and I heard the Holy Ghost say, I want you to start with him. And I said, God, why would I want to start with him? He's all crippled up, and why don't we just come, let us reason together, God. And the only really reasoning with God is to say, yes, sir. But no, I'm still stupid. I went out here and I started praying for people. Blank. Nothing. 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 Oh, God. All I say, I told you. I finally got down to the man. I laid my hands on him just like I was supposed to. The power of God hit that man. He pitched that walker, stood right up, went around that church, walked back, and then every one of these people just, bam, bam, got what they had. But it was doing what God told you to do. Not just taking the physical instructions of lay hands on the sick, but doing it according to where he told you to do it. And then God broke out. It's amazing what happens when we obey. He really does know what's going on. Then another example. This is one that's mind-boggling to me, but it's true. We saw it. It's recorded in the scripture where Jesus was led to the pool of Bethesda and where they laid all these hundreds and hundreds of sick people around the pool, each one hoping that they would get in when the waters were troubled, because they had heard by tradition that if they were the first one in the troubled waters, that they would get healed. Whether that was God or not, I don't know, but that was the tradition, and that's what they believed. And they were there today, and Jesus came into the midst of them, and it says that he walked through the midst of the people. He had to step around people on mats and on beds, and some who were managed to sit up, excuse me. He was listening to his father's voice till he got, this is the one. One person out of all those hundreds of sick people, he came up to and he said, do you want to be healed? Well, of course I do. I'm here, but I never get into the water. I don't ever have any. He said, that's not what I ask you. I said, do you want to be healed? Pick up your bed and walk. And he heard the word. He was crazy enough to believe it for some reason. And he picked up his bed and rolled it and walked out of there. And Jesus walked right out of the crowd and never touched another sick person. Did he miss the will of the Father? Absolutely not. He never missed it. Jesus lived a sinless life. Jesus was saying, in the midst of the hope, I'm still following my Father's voice in the midst of the darkness, because he'll send you into a dark situation of all kinds of people to find that one person that's ready. You can waste a lot of time if you're just trying to give money to everybody that needs it. But if you're listening to the Holy Ghost and you give money where God tells you to give it, it's a yoke breaker. A yoke breaker. We need to know to follow the voice. 2 years ago now, I had a plan one day. I was going to buy a bunch of different things for the church and for ourselves, and I had my to-do list, and I had my list as to where I was going to start. And then as I was starting today, God said, I want you to go to Sam's first. Sam's, that's the bottom of my list, God. That's out of the way. I'm going this way. But I knew that he said it. I want you to go to Sam's first. And so I did. I went to Sam's. And as I was walking in there, I saw an older, wonderful Christian lady. And she is not a whiner and a complainer at all. When I saw her, I asked her, I said, how are you doing? And tears welled up in her eyes. And she said, this shocked me because I've known her for a long time and I've never heard her complain or anything. And she tears welled up in her eyes and she said, I need money so bad. And it was interesting because I told her, I said, well, that's really neat. I called her by name. And I said, because God had put you on my heart a few weeks ago, and I've stopped at your house 3 times, but you were never home because I have this money that I feel like God wanted me to give him. And I handed her that much money. She was just amazed. I said, that's God. So I gave her that list, and I gave her the money, and then I got back on my list in reverse order. And wound up again at the end of the day at Aldi's. Do you have an Aldi's in this town? Yeah. I went to Aldi's to pick up some things, and I saw this lady in there shopping carefully with the money she had. And she didn't see me at all, but I walked up to the cashier, and they said, see that lady back there? Yeah, I said, well, when she gets here, tell her bill's paid. Okay, just tell her bill's paid, and I'll take care of it. Well, it was so busy in there that day that by the time the cashier got her in front of her, she'd kind of forgotten that she was getting ready to pay. And so I had to run up real quick and swipe my card. Boom, swipe that card on there. And she said, oh, you can't do this. There's two ladies done. And then she just had, and actually I just turned around and said, just, God wants you to bless you. And I just left right away. I found out later that she'd actually almost had a happy meltdown right there. Humble meltdown. She just began to weep and weep and weep. And the cashier said, isn't that wonderful? And the lady behind her said, look what God did for you. I wish he'd do that for me, you know. But what happened was, see, I had to hear the voice to disrupt my schedule, to be even a bigger blessing than I thought God was telling me to be. But had I insisted on doing it my way, I would have missed her both times. God knew her needs that day. That's why she wasn't home 3 times. He already was in that day. I was still coming to it. He knew the moment that she needed all those things. If we'll follow his voice, not going by our own understanding, amazing things will happen. So here in Mark chapter 1, he said, I need to go to the next cities also and preach the gospel there. That's amazing to me. Philip had the same wrestle. There he was having a fantastic evangelistic service in Samaria. The whole city had come to the power of God. Many had been baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, healing. All these things were going on. And God said, you're out of here. Boom. And took him to the desert. Could God do that? Of course, he can because he did. He's got some deserts for you, by the way. Not just for you to have to walk through. But he's got some deserts that he wants you and I to walk into because there's somebody passing through that desert that has no answer. Somebody that needs that light, a ray of hope. My favorite Bible character, in spite of the fact that Jesus said John the Baptist was the greatest, I got to remember that. My favorite Bible character in the Old Testament is Jonathan. Jonathan, because he was willing to lay down his royalty by birth and believe that God had already spoken and raised up another to take the position that was his by natural inheritance. But he wanted the will of God more than the power that was his. And he made covenant with that man that he knew God wanted to take his spot with. And even though he was loyal to his father to the day that he died with his father, he continually was advancing and speaking out and finding David. Even when David was having to hide in the wilderness because Saul, Jonathan's father, was hot on his trail trying to kill him, Saul could never find him. But Jonathan, the righteous man, could go into that wilderness and go right to the place where David was at, because the Holy Ghost, when he leads you, will take you to where they're hurting. And he went in there and he said, "Man, David, I know this is bad, but my father will not succeed in killing you. He'll never stop you. You're called, you're anointed, and I know it. I will serve with you to get you there." He wound up giving his life, staying loyal to his father, but he protected the call of God. I believe he's on the throne of David, if you will, right there beside him, because like he said, "I'll be with you forever." That's just me. It's not Bible. But because it's not Bible, you can't tell me it's not either. What amazing power the gospel has for us. It's a pleasure to be here. My exhortation for you today is that you and I were called for this moment and for this day. Not a one of us are out of time. We're in time. I'm getting older all the time. I never dreamed I'd be as old as I am. You know, but it just happened. And I want to finish my course. But there's a lot of times when I say, "God, I'm satisfied if the course is over." Yeah, I got a whole bunch of friends and peers that's already over the other side. I'm eager to see them. I'm eager to see Jesus. I'm eager for that reward. But I don't want to jump nor insult God's integrity. He birthed us and knows the fulfillment of our days. And I know in my heart that He's spoken that there's still things that I need to do. And that knowing is important to me, because if I didn't know that, I'd just as soon quit. But I don't want to stand before God and say, "I have more for you to do, but you quit, son." My goal, and my goal for you, is that each one of us, doesn't matter how bad we've messed up in the past, God can instantly put us back on course and make up for all the mistakes. My goal is for us, each one of us, to stand before the Lord and hear, "Well done, good and faithful lady, good and faithful man, good and faithful son, good and faithful daughter." That's so my goal. But I know I make mistakes, because we all do. And none of us have to, but we just get an understanding and make a mistake. But you have to then have this revelation, which is my greatest revelation. I'm already made righteous. God radically loves me. I am totally forgiven. And I'm not begging to get behind the veil. I'm already there. I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ at the right hand of the Father. Man, when you believe that, the devil will never con you. And you need to have a revelation of it, not just information. Amen. And I'll never forget when the revelation that I have been made righteous hit me on the hills of Western Pennsylvania, a charismatic evangelist by the name of Larry Tomczak broke the word for me and told me that I was the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that He had become sin for me, He who knew no sin, that I might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I was a tongue-talking believer by that time that felt like I had just got born again. Because the lies of the devil were shattered from all the things that I had been growing up with about having to do such and such to be righteous. Having to do this to prove you are or to stay as you are. Listen, I didn't get saved because of anything I did. And I'm not going to be lost because of anything I did. I'm saved because of Jesus Christ. He's become my righteousness. He's become your righteousness. And those righteous position that he's given you and I, it's in him. And in him we can hear the voice of God because Christ himself said, my people hear my voice and the voice of another you'll not follow. So you're sitting there and you think, well, maybe this is just another story for somebody else. No, this is your story. God's here for you today, surely, as the sun rose. Even more so, sure. He's brought you into this place and into this time to realign us and encourage us to go ahead and press in and be the blessing God called us to be. I love this place because it encourages people. People drive all over to come to you. Just keep pressing into what God's telling you to do. Don't make former paradigms your God. Appreciate where you were. Press into where you need to be. It's just the same as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm so thankful for all those that went before me because of them I am where I am. And that helps me know that I'm not here because of my self-effort. And because they did that, I understand the importance. And now I can look ahead and realize that I'm pressing towards the end of my mark someday. But I want to leave a trail that's connected to those that were before me so that those who are watching you and I can say, we need to build on what they've done so that they'll go further. And I'm telling you, the younger generation right now is going to have greater revelation and a greater explosion of knowledge and power than the body of Christ has ever seen before. Because they're going to step out on the revelation that's been layered line upon line and precept upon precept. And God is breaking the deception of darkness and he is raising up a body in this country and in this world that's going to get out of the understanding of their limitations and know that God is God and there will be a church without spot or blemish. One that will do what he tells us to do so that upon that day when the trumpet sounds, it won't be a surprise to any of us who believe. Because we'll be so in tune, it's like, whoo-hoo! Say, no man knows the day or the hour. I didn't say you didn't or didn't. But we won't be surprised because we are one with the one who sits on the throne. And he's the one who leads us and directs us. And you're here today to be a blessing. So I thank you for it. May the peace of Christ pass all understanding. That as we leave here today, we can stir one another up. Even out there, the people that don't know you, you can tell them, you know, God has a good plan for you. The couple that travels with us, that's what he tells people all the time. God has a really good plan for you. It's almost a cliche, but it's not to him. He really means it. He's just shocking people all the time. God has a really good plan for you. What? Even Christians don't really believe it so many times. But God has a really wonderful plan for you. And that plan is telling people, other people, he has a wonderful plan for them. They don't need to know they were a mess. Well, you know, when I was living as a rebellion, I'm trying to quit. When I was living in rebellion, I didn't need people to tell me I was a rebel. I already knew it. Didn't need to tell me I was a sinner. I was good at it. What shook my world is when people came in and began to love me in the midst of my condition. Really? It was so shocking I didn't believe it for years. I thought they were lying hypocrites. But no, it was the love of God that penetrated the darkness of my life and the darkness of my deception. And God has called you to be a light to those around you. Let's go be that light. Thank you.